always a joyful occasion to gather for our annual commitment day. When I came into the chapel this morning, I saw all these people in white. I thought of that passage from the book of Revelation where John sees the vast multitude all wearing white robes, and the angel comes up to them and says, "Who are all these people? Who are all these people dressed in white robes, and where have they come from?" Maybe you know that passage, book of Revelation. And John says, "Well, you know better than I do." And then, of course, this is not exactly the same, because you're not wearing long white robes and you're not holding palm branches and you haven't laid down your life for the Lord, not yet anyway. But it's still, there's something beautiful about having everybody gather for this this occasion, the commitment day. We welcome not only our associates who are making their renewing their commitment. The choir members are also dressed in white. Servers are in white. I'm in white. So, but we especially welcome our four sisters here in the front who are making their commitment for the first time as Anawim associates. You see their names on the song sheet. There's Rowena Di Maano. There's Elanette Pingol. There's Cirilla Roa and Freylanda Rodelas. But these names are not very familiar to us, even though the sisters are very familiar. We've known them for years. But we know them as Winnie, Bing, Sal, and Flora. So that's the key to understanding these names who are less familiar to us. Anyway, very warm welcome to you, Winnie, Bing, Sal, and Flora. Welcome to you, and congratulations on this day of your commitment. And welcome to the family members, the siblings, the children, the relatives who are here to celebrate with them. Yes, it's a day, a special day of celebration. So the question that came up from the book of Revelation, well, who are these people and where do they come from? Our question is, well, why are we here? Why are we here for our annual commitment day? Well, that's the answer. We're here for our annual commitment day, but why is it today? Why gather today? And the answer to this comes from the liturgy and from our devotion to Our Lady of the Liturgical Life, this image here. The other title for that image is Our Queen Mother. So the liturgical feast day of Our Queen Mother is Friday, the upcoming Friday, August 22nd. That's the fiesta of this image and of this shrine. Yesterday we celebrated the even more glorious feast in honor of Our Lady, the Assumption, August 15. So what we do in Anawim, because August 22nd doesn't usually land on a Saturday, we usually choose the Saturday between the Assumption and the Queenship as our annual commitment day, because these two great days, or these glorious days in honor of Mary, remind us of our commitment to follow her way, dedicated to her, and she leads us to Jesus, her son. So that's why we're here on this day. And on a commitment day, what typically happens is people ask, well, why are they doing this? Why do people make this commitment? And what does it mean to be a member of the Anawim community? What does it mean to be an associate of the Anawim community? Why do this? Well, the first answer, the simplest answer is God calls people to follow him. That's a very simple answer. God calls people to follow him in different ways, different paths, different moments, but God is always the starting point. And when he calls someone to follow, well, the right answer is yes, your will be done. Yes, I will do it. So all these people, these four for the first time, but all these people renewing their commitments are saying, yes, God called me to this. It's God's idea, and I am agreeing with him, saying yes to him. That's the simple answer, but the more difficult question is, well, what does that mean? What do these people do? What does it really mean to be an Anawim associate? What do they do? People always ask that. What do they do? Well, and people come up with different answers. People say, well, that community is the one that puts out this book of meditations, and they spread that around. Well, that's what that community does. Okay, that's a good answer, I guess. And then there are people who say, well, that community, they help those in need. They have ayuda, they look out for the needs of flood victims and people who are sick, and different works of charity for the poor. Yes, oh, that's good too. Other people look at Anuim and they say, well, that's that group that meets in that chapel in Italia 500. They have masses there and they have adoration there. That's what those people do. Okay, well, that's a good answer too, I guess. That's a good answer. And then other people will say, that group, they have this unusual image of Mary that they keep spreading around. It's kind of a mysterious looking picture, maybe, of the liturgical life. Yes, that's also true. Then other people say, well, that group, they have those Bible sharing groups, they call pondering groups. They get together every week and they share on the scriptures. That's also true. All of these are true. But none of them quite captures what it means to be Anuim. In fact, in the commitment that associates make, they are committing themselves to six things. Maybe you've seen this list. I'm sure the new associates have. Okay, in my response to my Anuim call, I commit myself to pray the icon prayer as a morning offering, ponder in the heart each day the mysteries of the rosary and the daily word of the liturgy, frequent mass and confession, attend the formation and pondering meetings, spiritual reading, monthly holy hour for Anuim vocations, especially the priesthood. Okay, six clear guidelines of what to do. But even that, it doesn't quite capture. It's not quite it. Because Anuim is not just things that we do, acts that we perform, or ways that we might serve, or gifts that we might give others. Anuim is a way of life. A way of life. If you see our logo, not the logo that we use for our 50th anniversary, but our regular logo, it says Anuim, a way of life. And that's a deeper description of Anuim, but it's also harder to describe it. So as I was reflecting on this, I said, well, I'm going to change this question. Rather than ask the question, what do they do? I'm going to ask the question, what did Mary do? What did Mary do? She didn't have any particular apostolate. She didn't set up a hospital or run a school. She didn't do anything that would obviously identify her. From the outside, I mean. She didn't work any miracles, no special works. But if we look deeper into her way of life, we see, oh my goodness, what a beautiful witness, what a beautiful disciple, what a simple, pure, profound, powerful example of what it means to follow the Lord. That's the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's our Queen Mother. And at the very heart of Mary, what does she do? The first thing she does is she says yes to God. Your will be done. Let it be done to me according to your word. That's at the very beginning of Mary's journey. Not only at the Annunciation, but in every moment. She was always saying yes to God. That's a good starting point for all of us. This is not our project. It's not our idea. It's not our will. It's God's will. God is the one who starts these things. And God is at the center. We say yes to him. If we're wise, we say yes to him. About everything and every day. Say yes to God. If it's not God's will, don't do it. I can even say it to these four women here. If it's not God's will to make a commitment as an Anuim associate, well, don't do it. Only do the will of God. That's the very starting point for everyone, and Mary's the great example of it. Say yes to God. In today's first reading, we had the great story about Joshua gathering the Israelites together. They have entered into the promised land. Joshua is near the end of his mission. He's near his death. And he says, okay, everybody, decide today whom you're going to serve. Decide to whom you're going to make your yes. Either the gods from way back, the gods of these people whose country you're moved into, or the Lord our God. And then he says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's that same initial step, yes to God. That's the starting point for everybody. Joshua, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Honorable Associates, and anybody who wants to be a follower of Jesus, say yes to the will of God. Okay. And then Joshua, he challenges them and says, well, you might not be able to do it. They say, oh, yes, yes, yes. He said, it's not always easy to follow the Lord. And the people respond properly. We don't care about all these objections. We are still going to follow the Lord. And that's the right attitude for committed people. Yes, we know it will be difficult sometimes. Sometimes we have dark moments or challenges or conflicts. Still say yes to God. Easy, hard, light, dark, day, night. Doesn't matter. The answer is always the same. Say yes to God. Okay? Good starting point. Now, when we think about Mary, actually she's doing this yes to God. She's following the will of God in every moment. And as we follow her, we realize actually she does a lot. She didn't found a school. She didn't write any books. But she does a lot. And at the very heart of what she does in response to the will of God, is she's the mother of God. This is unique to Mary. She's the mother of God. She's chosen to be the mother of the Savior. So, but once we identify someone who's a mother, we realize, well, what does a mother do? It's impossible to list it all, even though most of it's hidden service and nobody notices. That's the way of a disciple. Countless yeses to God, countless acts of hidden service, which other people don't notice, that's a whole way of life. Mary, whole way of life. So once she's yes, saying yes to God, she's chosen to be the mother of God, and she accepts that mission, then everything else follows from there. She runs into the hill country to serve Elizabeth, service of others. She is described in St. Luke's Gospel as someone who treasures and ponders in her heart. That's also a description of the Anawim. People who treasure the things of God and ponder them in her heart. Mary's also an intercessor. You know the famous story of her place in Cana when there was a wedding feast and they ran out of wine. How did Mary know that they ran out of wine? Maybe she was helping out in the kitchen. I don't know. Maybe she was a confidant of the people who were in charge and they knew that she would help them. But whatever it was, she knew there was a need and she interceded to her son for the people in need. She was in the background. Did anyone know that Mary did that? I don't know. The miracle was done by Jesus, but Mary was the intercessor. And that's part of what Mary does. Whether people notice it or not isn't important. Mary continued her journey, and we could go through every stage, following the Lord, serving the Lord, helping others who are following the Lord, and then as Jesus comes to his passion, grieving, suffering with the Lord, enduring in faith the darkness of suffering and death. And then, after his resurrection, rejoicing with the Lord and rejoicing with the church, helping the church to rejoice and follow in faith. This is Mary's whole journey. We learn this journey in Anawim by following the liturgy. The liturgy. The daily instruction, the daily food for our souls, the daily gift of the word. That's why we ponder the word every day. Because it's God who, through his word, through the church, shows us this way of life, Mary's way. Liturgical life is Mary's life. And Mary's life becomes our life, our way of life, as we ponder and follow in faith. That's what you're getting yourself into. You know it already. I mean, some of these sisters of ours, they've been following this for years already. Guided years ago by Sister Barbara. I know that's Winnie for sure was under the guidance of Sister Barbara years ago. Okay, let's take one look at today's gospel. Very short gospel. Jesus' encounter with the children, or people bringing children to Jesus, and Jesus welcomes children. He welcomes children. He welcomes us when we are childlike. He blesses us. He places his hands on us when we're childlike. And he says, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. The kingdom of God belongs to those who are like children. Why? What do children do? Goes back to that question again. That question keeps coming up. What do they do? What do they do? What do children do? Well, they just be children. They be who God created them to be, especially the little ones. They just have to be themselves. That's all they have to be. No special works, nothing impressive. They don't even have to be cute, although they are. But they're who they are, who God made them to be. And God blesses them. So Jesus says, no, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Not only the little ones, but anyone who's like them. Children live in this dependence on God. It's a natural gift they have, poverty of spirit. They're images of the Anoim. They're a good image for all of us and for our new associates. Good image for the new associates. Be like children. Be like little children. Be ready to receive. Be ready to learn. Be ready to be led and to follow. Which is the same as saying, be like Mary. Go back to Mary again. Be like Mary. She's the most childlike of all. And because she's the most childlike, she has the greatest blessings. She's the most powerful. She's raised up to the highest. That's why we honor her in her Assumption and the extension of the Assumption, the Queenship, next Friday. Mary is the model of the Anoim. So as I look out at all these people dressed in white, they say, Mary is our model. Father Francis used to say, Mary is our foundress. She's our formator, our teacher. She's the example that we follow in hidden and simple dedication to God, all based on a simple yes to the will of God. Amen.